some really, really, really tasty sushi, and that was delicious. So very, very good meal there. Also this week I made some roast beef ragu out of roast beef, and some grilled cheese and green apple sandwiches last night, and a creamy cauliflower and asparagus soup. I'm going to give you a couple of those recipes. We'll start off with the roast beef ragu. Basically, we just cooked a pot roast in the oven, and I like to slow cook pot roasts, right? That's how you cook them. Usually when I make a pot roast, I like to add some tomatoes to it. Gives it a rich flavor. And I also add a little bit of red wine to my pot roast as well. And then, of course, I use... I don't use the onion soup packet because there's some things in there I don't like. But I will use onion flakes and some beef broth and a little garlic. And I'll make my own soup base that way and put that in also with the beef. And then let that cook in my braisery pan for a couple hours. And this was a bone-in roast. It was very good. Also had some potatoes with that and some carrots. It was delicious. It's one of our favorite meals at the house. We love roast beef. But I had some leftover, and it had been in the fridge for a couple of days. And, you know, when I cook it, it really cooks down, and all the juices and the flavors just come together, and it just has this nice, rich sauce to it. You could use it as a gravy and that sort of thing. But I took some of the leftover beef and shredded it a little bit and added it to the drippings that were left over. And to that I added some more chopped garlic, another can of chopped tomatoes, another half a cup of red wine, some red pepper flakes, some more dried onion flakes, some chopped parsley, sea salt, black pepper, and I just cooked all of that down. So it was just this nice, rich, thick broth that we used, you know, the drippings from the beef. So it was just perfect. Just the right amount of beef in there. I didn't use a ton of beef. And the tomato base, it was delicious. And then I just cooked up some linguine in salted water and added the linguine to the sauce, mixed it all up, and let it cook together for about 10 minutes on low. So the pasta, you know, I brought the pasta out at al dente or just maybe before. So then it would just pick up so much of that sauce when it was continuing to cook in the pan. And with the pinch of red pepper flakes in there, I might have used just a little bit more. It had some spice to it and just a little bit of a kick. And that just served in a nice shallow bowl with a little grate of Parmesan cheese on top and a little bit of wine. It was delicious. It was a perfect leftover meal. And then, of course, potatoes and the other leftovers we can use for other things. But the roast beef ragu was a hit, and I actually had that for lunch a couple days too. So give it a try. You don't need to have a lot of leftover meat when you've made a roast or even a chicken to come up with something delicious with a sauce and add pasta or rice or something to it. Also this weekend, friend came over for dinner, and because of the tempura on Saturday night at my house, I decided definitely something kind of light. And I had some leftover asparagus and cauliflower from the tempura. I had blanched the cauliflower for about 5 minutes in salted boiling water just to soften it just a little bit before we put it in the tempura batter and then in the oil, just so it wasn't as crunchy and it had a little bit of a softness to it. Also, I blanched the asparagus as well just for a couple minutes and then into cold water bath after that, and that too made it just perfect. So I had some cauliflower and asparagus left. I also had some fennel left from the tempura. I had a couple of Yukon Gold potatoes left over from the roast beef earlier in the week. or middle of the week, and thought that would be great to make a creamy base with. So I came up with this soup. It was delicious. You're going to need some olive oil and some butter, 6 cloves of peeled garlic, and about 4 shallots chopped, a cup of fennel bulb chopped, 6 mushrooms, somewhere around there, chopped, like a half a cup of mushrooms, 3 cups of cauliflower florets, and they don't need to be cooked ahead of time. You know, I just happen to have them slightly cooked. You don't have to for this. Probably about 10 stalks of asparagus, cleaned and trimmed and chopped. I had the 3 Yukon Gold potatoes. I cubed those up. They were already cooked. Threw those in the pot. You also need about 1/2 cup of white wine, some sea salt, some black pepper. I wanted a little bit of a kick to this soup, and I thought with the cauliflower and the asparagus, I added a little bit of curry powder, about 1 teaspoon. Also a teaspoon of garam masala for some other flavor, a little red pepper, some fresh thyme, chicken broth, a little cream. I had some Romano cheese, and I made some homemade croutons. So putting it all together is very, very easy. Heat your olive oil and your butter in a heavy-bottomed soup pot on medium. Then you're going to add your fennel, your shallots, the mushrooms, the garlic, and your spices. Ooh, and it's going to smell immediately. It's like the oil and the fennel, and yeah, and the mushrooms are releasing their juice. It smells delicious. Saute that for about 5 minutes. And then you add your cauliflower, your asparagus, your potatoes. Give it a swirl. Cook it, you know, stir it around with your spoon, and let that cook for about 5 more minutes. And then by then, things are starting to kind of stick a little bit, and then that's perfect because now you're going to add the white wine. Stir and let that simmer for a few minutes, and then cover it all with a lid, and cook until the vegetables have tender. So when you cook it with a lid, then all that condensation just comes back down into the pan, and it cooks inside your pot, and your vegetables are going to steam that way. And then just remove it from the heat once the vegetables are tender, about 15 minutes. Take it all over to the blender. Puree it in batches. I pureed mine in like 3 batches, and with each batch, you know, I filled the blender about halfway with vegetables, and then I added a cup of chicken broth to that. And I blended it until smooth and creamy. And really, you do want to blend it until it's smooth and creamy. It takes longer than what you think. You know, it can be pureed or it can be blended really, really smooth. And, you know, blend it a little bit longer so it's just super smooth. So each batch, I did that and added the puree back to the pot. Then add a little bit of cream, about 1 cup. Of cream to that, and I used about probably 1/2 cup of shredded Romano cheese to the soup as well, and delicious. You could add even a little bit of a cheddar. It just gives it kind of that salty tang of the cheese and adds to the creaminess. And then you just simmer that. In the meantime, you could make some homemade croutons. You could buy some croutons. But I made some homemade croutons. Very easy. I just had some bread that was left over. Actually, some bread that Rodney had grilled on the grill. And it was left over from a few days before. And I just cut that up into chunks. Heated up the pan and added some olive oil to it. And just sauteed the bread chunks in a little bit of olive oil. Sprinkled on some little garlic, and then you just take your croutons onto the soup and a little sprinkle of Romano cheese, and you're good to go. And it's just a nice, light, creamy soup. Very filling and delicious. My whole family liked it. I think our guests liked it, and everyone was happy. And I think there's just a little bit of leftover. And with that, last night, we also had a salad. a green salad, and I decided I wanted to have some sort of a grilled sandwich on the side as well. I had some leftover rye bread from making sandwiches a couple days before that, and decided I would use rye bread, and ran up to the grocery store, bought some a wheel of brie cheese, and also some Beecher's flagship cheese. You could also use a sharp white cheddar, that's fine. And then green apples. I've been keeping those around the house for juicing lately, so I used some green apple wedges and some pear ginger dressing, which happened to be in the refrigerator as well. That you can get, I know for sure, at Hammer and Wecan. I don't know if you can get it at Trading Union, but pear ginger dressing, you can use it for so much more than just a dressing. So you heat a cast iron frying pan on medium heat. You spread, this is just for one sandwich, spread a tablespoon of pear ginger dressing evenly on two slices of bread. So it's about a half a tablespoon per piece slice of bread. Then you just layer one slice with the cheddar cheese, then the sliced apples, and then the brie, sliced brie. Then chop with top with the remaining bread slice. Butter the top of the sandwich and place it butter side down in your cast iron pan. And while that's cooking, you can butter the other side of the sandwich since it's up. And flip it when lightly browned and golden, and remove from the pan when both sides are golden brown. And the cheese is melted. You've got that tart sweetness from the apple and the gooiness of the brie cheese, and then the sharpness of the cheddar. And with the pear and ginger dressing, you have that ginger kick and the creaminess, and then the butter on the outside of the rye bread. It's so delicious. I could have eaten a couple of those sandwiches last night. And with the rye bread, it's perfect. But you could use another bread too. Possibly you could use a raisin bread would be good with that. Raisin bread would really be good. So that's a grilled cheese and green apple sandwich. And I've posted that recipe already on KFSK's Facebook page. So you can check that out. It goes really well with the creamy cauliflower and asparagus soup. And just a side salad. And then, of course, you're going to have leftover cheese, so you can just serve that maybe with some bread or crackers, something like that. Speaking of bread, also made some bread this weekend. I'm getting better at that. I'm finally turning into a bread baker, and that makes me happy. And that's it for Sunday dinner at my house. Coming up next, we're going to talk about roast leg of lamb, which is one of my favorite things this time of the year around Easter. That's coming up next on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. It's been a while since I've talked about lamb, but it is about time. You're going to start seeing some nice leg of lamb in the grocery store, I'm sure, and this time of the year. The nice thing about cooking something like a roast leg of lamb, you usually have leftovers, and there's so much that you can do with leftover lamb meat. Or any meat, for that matter. But thinking about, rather than the pesto or the mint or the rosemary and garlic, something a little bit different. So maybe when we have leftover lamb this year, We can use it definitely with the, it'll taste delicious in a pita pocket or maybe on a tortilla, turn it into some really good Mexican food. So thinking about that type of thing when I'm going to season the lamb this time. It's so versatile. You know, you can use it for stew, you can braise it, or you can just roast it. And it's one of the muscles that gets a lot of exercise on the lamb, so it is flavorful that way. And you don't have to cook it all the way through. You can cook it medium rare, and it's delicious when it's fresh out of the oven, medium rare. And then that way, too, when you're cooking the leftovers, you can continue to cook it. And when you heat it up, it's not going to be overcooked. So for this recipe, you need a 4.5 to 5 pound bone-in leg of lamb. A lot of times you can't find the bone in anymore. Everybody wants the bone out. If you can find the bone in, buy that one, because then you have that bone that you can just boil down later on too and get some nice broth out of it. So if you can get the bone in, if you want to deal with the bone, that's the one that you're going to want, and it's so much more flavorful. But if you find a leg of lamb, which I know you will, that doesn't have a bone, you can still use this recipe. You also need some olive oil, some lemon juice. So you're going to need about a third of a cup. Maybe you're going to need, I'd say, pick up 2 or 3 lemons at the grocery store. 7 cloves of garlic, a teaspoon of coriander, a teaspoon of sumac, a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper, 2 tablespoons of smoked paprika, a tablespoon of salt, sea salt, 2 teaspoons of black pepper, and a couple teaspoons of cumin. And if you can buy the cumin and the coriander as a seed, and then you just toast it a little bit in a dry pan and then run it through your spice grinder, that's the best way to do it. But if you don't want to go through the trouble, you don't want to buy any more, don't worry about it. So you're going to take everything on that list and pulse it in a food processor. So the olive oil, the lemon juice, the cloves of garlic, the coriander, everything. And you're going to make a nice paste with it. Rub it all over the leg of lamb and wrap it in plastic and allow it to marinate overnight. So if you're going to cook this on Sunday, you want to do this on Saturday. The next day, remove the lamb, wipe off the excess marinade, and let it sit out in the fridge for about 45 minutes. Out of the fridge for about 45 minutes. You want it to go to room temperature. I never take a piece of meat right out of the fridge and throw it in the oven, because you're not really going to, it's not going to be true to the roasting time, because right in the dead center, it's going to still be cold. You really want it to warm up to room temperature at least 30 minutes before, if it's a big cut of meat like this, definitely 45 minutes before you throw it in the oven. Heat your oven to 450, and you're going to roast the lamb for 15 minutes at 450. And what that does is it just seals the outer layer of the lamb, really heating it up and cooking it and browning it quickly. It's like putting it in your frying pan and searing on all sides. You know, that's what you do a lot of times with meat. So that's what this is. And then you bring the temperature down to 325 and you roast it using your meat thermometer until it reads 135 to 140, about an hour to an hour and a half. Then transfer it to a cutting board, tent it with some foil, and let it rest. And let it rest for 20 minutes before you carve it. And you're going to have this delicious, well-seasoned, roast leg of lamb. And from there, you can add sides to it and make just a really great meal out of it. Or you can, from there, you can use it to make sandwiches and tacos if you want. It's up to you, but start off by having a great meal and then make more great meals out of the leftover. Make sure you have your good meat thermometer. And if you don't have one, put it on your birthday list or your Christmas list for next year. So when I was thinking about this roast leg of lamb and what would be so delicious with it, I'm thinking about like Easter or a special occasion dinner on a Sunday. Just the paprika and the coriander and the lemon and the garlic, the cumin, it sounds to me like some sort of braised greens. And thinking about braised greens, I also thought how great a frittata would be with it. So here is, this one is from Food 52. This is a frittata with braised mustard greens. And if you can't get mustard greens here in town, you can always use some other greens. A little bit of kale. You could use Swiss chard. There's other greens that you can use. And this one also has lemon in it. It's got some red pepper flakes in it, some garlic, some onion. And so it's going to go really well with the lamb. And when I make frittatas the most is when I have leftovers. I love making frittata with leftovers, and I haven't made one in a while. But anyway, here's the recipe. This is 2 tablespoons of olive oil and 1/2 of a very large yellow onion peeled and thinly sliced. 2 cloves of garlic peeled and thinly sliced. 1 pinch of red pepper flakes. I didn't put that in there. That's in the recipe. Other people like it too. 1/2 pound of mustard greens washed, stemmed, and cut and torn into bite-sized pieces. And if you're using any other greens, probably 1/2 pound as well. 1 teaspoon of fresh lemon juice, salt and ground pepper, and 10 large eggs. So this is a very eggy frittata. I can almost taste it now with the lamb. Oh my gosh, what a great meal. Heat the oil in a large 12-inch skillet over medium-high heat. And then when the oil is shimmering, you stir in your onion, your garlic, and your red pepper, and cook until the onion is soft and translucent, about 5 minutes. Then stir in the lemon juice and the chopped greens. And how many greens is this? This is a lot of greens. So sometimes it's hard to stir. I'm a tong person. I like to cook with tongs. I have like 5 pairs of tongs. So I always have a set with me. And this is nice because you can kind of pick up the greens with your tongs and kind of move them around a little bit and toss them that way. And I know it's might seem difficult at first, but once you get used to using tongs, then you'll use them all the time. But tongs is a good way to toss. You can also just put a little bit of a plate or a lid over the top and then just kind of press it down and they'll cook. And eventually, you don't need to worry. You won't be running out of space after a little bit. They cook down. Add 1 tablespoon of water and cover the pan. And turn the heat to medium-low and keep it covered and cook until the greens are soft and about 20 to 30 minutes for that. Season with some salt and pepper then. Then you're going to turn your broiler on high and you're going to whisk all the eggs together in a large bowl with a little bit of salt and pepper. You're going to uncover the greens and pour the eggs gently over them. And you're going to cook uncovered until the edges of the frittata are set, about 5 minutes. Then transfer the pan to the oven and broil until the top is lightly browned and set, another 3 or so minutes. Then take it out of the oven. Make sure you're using a hot mitt because you've just put the whole pan in there. And yeah, it'll be great if you serve that nice wedge of frittata with some lamb on the side. Delicious. If you wanted, you could put some cooked potatoes in there too. That would be good. So frittata with braised mustard greens and a nicely seasoned roast leg of lamb. Also, thinking about the bread that I made this week, and I have seen this recipe before and I've never had it, and I've given you something like this before, but this would go really well if you are somebody who likes to have bread with your meal. This would go really well with your frittata and a roast leg of lamb. It's a savory monkey bread, and you need one loaf of unsliced bread, and those nice boulets would be perfect. The garlic boulet, or rosemary even, or just a plain, but or a sourdough for that matter. This particular recipe uses a cup of pesto. I don't know that pesto really goes well with the recipes that we're using, but I was thinking that you could take a cup of a different kind of pesto. So you could use not your general basil pesto, but maybe a red pepper pesto, or some sort of even a red pepper pesto, or something with olives in it would be delicious. But, you know, basil pesto would work too. Also, 12 ounces of mozzarella cheese, thinly sliced. You could use other cheese. You could use like a Swiss cheese. You don't have to use mozzarella. This is just an idea. And some salt and pepper. Preheat your oven to 350. Line a baking sheet with parchment. You're going to score the bread lengthwise, but don't cut it all the way down. Leave it so they're not falling, the slices are not falling off. And then you turn it the other direction and you cut it again, and this time you're scoring across the width of the loaf, and you're going to end up with what looks like little squares of bread that are attached. So then you use a spatula or a butter knife and you spread the pesto or whatever sort of spread you're going to put in that, and you put that in and around the crevices of the bread, and you don't need to be precise, just slather it in there. And then you put the mozzarella slices inside the crevices so that they're inside the bread or whatever kind of cheese you're going to use. Then transfer it to a baking sheet and bake it until it's bubbly and the cheese is melted, 15 to 20 minutes, and serve warm. So you have this nice frittata with the mustard greens and the savory bread and the roast leg of lamb. Would be really nice with some fresh spring asparagus or perhaps some green beans. And I think that's a meal that we're going to try at my house. And we should be finding some lamb in the grocery stores pretty soon. And, now is the time to buy it because it'll be at its cheapest. So if you're waiting for something like this to buy, purchase like a leg of lamb, then a couple weeks from now is the best time of the year to do it. And spring lamb, that's when they're the best. Also, just a quick note, baking some bread this weekend, I used parchment since I was thinking about the parchment. I've been baking bread on the bread stone, right, which many people bake their bread on, a bread stone in the oven. But I've been putting my bread on parchment. So if I want to make two or three loaves, I have them all on their own parchment, sprinkled with a little bit of corn flour underneath, and then I can just lift up the parchment. I'm not trying to move the bread off of anything onto the stone, and I can just take the whole parchment with the bread, sit it on the stone, bake the bread, pick the parchment up because the parchment isn't hot, take it off, and put on the next one. And it really helps if you're making two or three loaves of bread and you're trying to transfer them around. then you're not messing with the loaf if you've shaped it just the way you want. So I discovered that this weekend, that that works great, and the bread comes off the parchment nice. Or you can just wrap the bread up in the parchment and put it into a brown bag and store it, and it works great. So give it a try if you've been trying your hand at bread too, like me. Try cooking it on the parchment and then right onto your baking stone. You don't have to mess with it. Okay, coming up next, we have the drink of the week here on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink, hosting Wednesday trivias, Thursday night open mic, and DJs for dancing on the weekends. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, open 7 days a week. Welcome back to What's for Dinner for the drink of the week. This week's drink is an Easter sangria, if you're planning ahead. It's perfect for a group of folks. You don't have to stand around and mix drinks or anything like that. You can have a couple different things. You could have a punch that doesn't have any alcohol, and you can have an Easter sangria. Just make sure you label them so people know what they're drinking. And this one uses Moscato wine, so it's a sweet wine, also some triple sec. So here it is. Very Easterish, I think. A couple bottles of Moscato wine, 3 ounces of triple sec, 2 slices of cucumbers, or 2 sliced cucumbers, I should say. Make sure you take off most of the skin off of those. Sometimes I like to leave tiny little strips, and then when you cut them, you have those little green specks on the edges of your slices. You don't have to do that either, but definitely you should take off the skin. 2 cups of seedless green grapes, 1 sliced Granny Smith apple, 1 sliced lemon, 1 sliced lime, and 1/2 liter of club soda. Pour the wine into a pitcher or bowl and add the sliced cucumber, apple, lemon, and lime. Then add your triple sec and stir gently. Cover and chill. You're not going to do this 5 minutes before your guests come over. You're going to do this a day before, maybe even 2. The longer the better, that all of it sits together. Then it's even more amazing. So, do it the day before. And then before serving, you can top with a little club soda. Stir gently and serve over ice. It makes about 15 servings. There you go. It's already made, and it's made the day before or 2 days before. I don't know if I'd go more than that. You can, but I've had leftover sangria. The last time we made sangria, we made a huge, humongous pitcher of it, like in a big, huge jug, and we had leftover. And even a couple days later, it was so delicious to have a little bit here and there. So this makes 15 servings. You need 2 bottles of Moscato, 3 ounces of triple sec, 2 sliced cucumbers, 2 cups of seedless green grapes, 1 Granny Smith apple sliced, 1 sliced lemon, 1 sliced lime, and 1/2 liter of club soda. There you have it. And if you want to make this without the wine, it's definitely not going to taste the same, but you could use club soda and you could make a kind of a sweet syrup and add these same things to it. But with the club soda, you need to make it right then and there. You don't want to let the club soda sit out for too long. And that's it for this edition of What's for Dinner. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be back next week. Who knows what we'll be cooking up? Maybe I'll see you at the grocery store tonight, wandering around the aisles looking for something to make for dinner. Check your leftovers and see what you have. You can also make a grilled cheese and green apple sandwich, side salad, maybe a little soup. Happy cooking and happy eating!